Today on Real Radio.
What is God's purpose in the life of Jonah? Answer, to get him to change course. But maybe this morning you're not a Christian. You're not a believer in God. Or you're a casual or recreational believer in God. You're kind of covering your bases. You're kind of an evolutionist. You're kind of a religious person. You're kind of a pantheist. You're kind of an atheist. You're kind of an agnostic. You're kind of a New Ager. You're kind of covering everything. Well, what if God's word is true, and it is, but you need to be convinced of that. One thing that you need to realize, it is God's will that you experience a change in course.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament account of Jonah. So far, we've observed how this Hebrew prophet tried to dodge the inevitable and consequently became a delectable for a denizen of the deep. Well, that brings us to chapter 2, which is for the most part the prayer of Jonah. Evidently, his maker has finally rattled his cage enough to get the runaway prophet's attention. And so our teacher begins a series within a series, the first part of which we'll hear today. It's called A Change in Course. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Are you enjoying this book, the book of Jonah? I'm loving this book. This is great. Another reason why we should spend lots of time in the Old Testament. Paul the Apostle said, whatsoever things were written down previously, he was speaking about the Old Testament, were things written down for our learning, that through patience and hope we might inherit the promises. Well, where do you find the promises? In the Scriptures. And where did the New Testament church find the promises? In the Old Testament. And so we do well to study the entire counsel of God, Old and New Testament alike. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, which launches us into the entire chapter of chapter 2. So Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, it says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And he said, now listen to this. This is the words of a man in a fish's stomach. I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, or hell, I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. And I went down into the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever, yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you in your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay with what I have vowed, salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish and vomited Jonah unto dry land. Man, I want to see that. Don't you wish you could rerun that and show it in real time? Oh, man. Can you imagine? I would love to see some guy on the shore there, just kind of with his pole. He's got his little bobber out there in the water, and the water begins to move, you know? And this gigantic fish that this fisherman was probably hoping that he would, you know, hook. This thing somehow rushes the shore and bloop, and out comes this man. And Jonah completes the will of God. The title of the message this morning is A Change in Course. That's what it's all about, you know. See, it would have been a perfect vector, a perfect compass heading to follow from northern Galilee, where Jonah was born, right over to Nineveh into the Assyrian Empire. By the way, just north today of Baghdad on the Tigris River, on the right-hand side going north, is a place called Mosul. And Mosul is today, Mosul, ancient Nineveh. Archaeological discoveries, confirmed location of Nineveh, tremendous, vast city that was capital of the Assyrian Empire. Jonah, if he would have been obedient, oh, class, listen up. It's always best to listen to God first. If he would have listened to God, he would have went north and a little bit east and wound up in Nineveh and delivered the message that God was going to give him. But he ran from northern Israel, goes down the coastline, hits Joppa on the Mediterranean coast of Israel, heads out to sea, and you've been following the story, the great wind, the great storm, and all the efforts of the sailors to lighten the ship. Jonah winds up getting chucked. I guess I could say chucked. They chucked him overboard. They threw him overboard, and the poor man is bobbing up and down. We don't know how long, probably not long, because in such a turbulent sea, it wouldn't have lasted long. And God, all the while, alongside that ship, had prepared a great fish. And I don't know how you handle that, but keep this in mind. Number one, the event of Jonah, the book of Jonah, is a factual event, not based upon my declaration, based upon the declaration of none other than who? Jesus himself. Jesus Christ in the New Testament tells us that what happened to Jonah was a real factual event. And the Bible, Old Testament, tells us that he was a real prophet of God. He really was a man. He really was the first submariner that ever lived. God worked radically in his life. And another thing is this. If you're really excited about researching this more and more, I did some snooping around for you, and you can go search this out. You can go to the good people at the Encyclopedia of Britannica, and you can go there and find research on people, there's been more than one, that have been swallowed by great fish or whales in recorded history. And you're going to be surprised about what you see. There's been more than one, as I say, and in fact, one of them, by a man by the name of Bartlett, in the late 1800s, was on an English whaling ship in the Falkland Islands. And they spotted a great sperm whale, and they went after that sperm whale to kill it and to harvest that whale for product. And in doing so, the whale capsized one of the smaller vessels. Two men were thrown into the sea. One man was lost at sea. I should say lost his life at sea. The other man was not found. But they did get the whale, and they brought that sperm whale alongside the ship, and they began to harvest that whale. And then finally, a couple days later, they brought the carcass of the ship on board, and they began to disembowel the whale. And when they cut open the stomach of the whale, in there was a man, Bartlett. The man that was lost at sea was in the belly of that great sperm whale. And it took 3 weeks for the man to be fully revived, in which he went back to work aboard the ship. But when they pulled into port in England, he was wound up looking like such a freak because of his events that he was later paid a pretty decent sum of money to be a sideshow circus exhibition or display. And he was hailed as the modern-day Jonah in the late 1800s. The stomach of the whale had the bile and all, the acids had completely eaten all the hair off of his body. It bleached his skin to a pale yellow, and it had some other physiological effects upon his life, but he was quite frightening to look at. And that is just one account. But it's interesting to note that no doubt that when Jonah wound up fulfilling the mission and getting to Nineveh, he walks into town and people begin to repent and call upon God. He must have looked like an absolute alien of a man. Lime green, no hair, and with an attitude, he came. Yet 40 days and Nineveh perishes. And that's all he did. He walked around. And well, you know, the rest you'll have to come for the following weeks to find out how that goes. But what a tremendous event. Jonah was a real man. This is a real event that we're reading about. And we'll look at a couple of points out of the 4 points this morning. We'll look at two of them. And it is this. The first thing that we consider this morning is regarding a change in course. And you need to know this. Regarding a change in course, all of us need to know this. All of us need to have a change in course. Regarding Jonah's life, it came about as his knowledge of his rebellion of God came into being. Jonah's own course brought him to understand by God dealing with him that he was on the wrong course and that he was in rebellion toward God. So what caused Jonah to experience this change of course? A lot of stuff. A lot of radical things. Number one, we see this, that there's a known rebellion against God. Jonah now understands that he is in rebellion against God. That's what we're going to see wonderfully revealed in this chapter. You know, the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel 15, 23 tells us, for rebellion, that is disobedience to God, not doing what he says, is as the sin of witchcraft. God sees rebellion and witchcraft the same. And he says, stubbornness is as the iniquity of idolatry. Now, none of us in here are rebellious, and none of us in here are stubborn. So for other people, this is quite a serious thing. Jonah was in rebellion against God. That is a sin. Can the prophets of God sin? Well, Jonah's showing us that they can. Do any of us walk in sinlessness? Nope. What is God's purpose in the life of Jonah? Answer, to get him to change course. But maybe this morning you're not a Christian. You're not a believer in God. Or you're a casual or recreational believer in God. You're kind of covering your bases. You're kind of an evolutionist. You're kind of a religious person. You're kind of a pantheist. You're kind of an atheist. You're kind of an agnostic. You're kind of a New Ager. You're kind of covering everything. Well, what if God's word is true, and it is, but you need to be convinced of that. One thing that you need to realize, it is God's will that you experience a change in course. And sometimes that invitation comes very gently. Sometimes it comes through a message. Sometimes it comes through hardships of life, difficult things. And so Jonah is going to come to the knowledge of his rebellion against God. And this is quite, in my view, humorous, because Jonah's on the ship originally. The ship is tossing and turning and all that's going wrong. And Jonah says, you know, throw me over. It's all going to be calm for you. And all this evil has come upon the ship because of me. And so he's talking about it and he's declaring it. And so the sailors try to save both the ship and Jonah, but that's futile. So they wind up throwing Jonah over the side. And in doing so, remember last time, the sea came to a miraculous calm. And the men gave glory to God. They came to believe in God, and they made the God of Israel their God, these pagan, worldly, heathen sailors. Well, Jonah's in the water. And in some aspects, in some relationship to this, you have to believe that Jonah is still trying to call the shots. He's out in the water. I mean, I don't know if his... He's out there. There's a bunch of idols now bobbing in the water around him. Remember that? There's cargo. There's junk out there in the water. And there's Jonah. And how long he's in the water, we don't know. But God had prepared a great fish. And I love the fact that it was a great fish. It wasn't a little fish. He just didn't kind of get swallowed a little bit. And there's teeth marks on him. He just kind of got into the belly of that fish. It was a great fish. God had to create a great fish to get Jonah's attention. Not only that, but to spare Jonah from himself. And so we look at a few things this morning. Verses 17, we consider this a change in course. Comes first of all when we have a knowledge of our rebellion against God. Number one, we learn this, that conviction brings a verdict from God. Can you jot that down? Conviction brings a verdict from God. It will happen in your life, my life. It's going on in Jonah's life. It says in verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish. Conviction. So how do you get that out of that? How do you get conviction out of that? Because of this. Jonah's in the water by reason. It's not an accident. He didn't slip on a banana peel and fall into the water. God was pursuing this man. God is in this to bring about a conviction in Jonah, to get Jonah to the truth. And boy, do we despise that. I'm just talking to believers right now at this point. Christian, you know what I'm talking about? When you and I are being convicted by God, we either respond immediately to the conviction, smart thing to do, or we harden our heart or our ears against God. We ignore him. We shut the door, shut the windows, draw the curtains, and we continue on in some sort of a rebellion, whatever that sin might be. I don't need to point anything out. Let God speak to us. But rebellion is not doing what God has asked us to do. And we need to understand that God loves us. I don't know if there's any teenagers in here. There shouldn't be. There's a great message going on across the way right now. But what if you're a young person? And there's that struggle as a young person. I'm going to do as I want to do. My mom and dad are dumb. They don't understand anything. All of a sudden, since I turned 13, they've taken stupid pills. They don't understand anything. I'm smarter than them. And you got to let a teenager do that from about 13 to about their, oh, I don't know, 19 for you? Some age. Some people grow up faster than others, but it's amazing how children get older, parents get smarter in their head. You ever notice that? But they start to come around, you know, but until they come around, the thing is, I am going to call the shots. I know better. And you tell your kids, and then, you know, no, you don't know, you don't. And then they walk away and you just go, Lord, and this is the great thing about being a Christian parent. Lord, just show them I'm right. It may take years, but he'll show them. Why? Because what we want for our kids is based on love. It's a motive of love. When God says, look, what you're doing is rebellion against me, we throw our toys down, we kick and hem and haw and get all upset, and we're just like that spoiled little kid at Toys R Us. And he looks like a fool. He's laying on that cold floor, kicking and crying, and he's threatening his mom, I'm not leaving this store until you get me that. I'd just, you know, bring him a TV dinner and leave him there then. You want to stay here? Stay here. But I'm telling you, God will move in a person's life and get attention to get us to come to that place of understanding. I'm under conviction of God. That's why the Christian can go and do a sin and God will say, hey, no, wrong. But if you do not listen to God and you continue on, God will prepare a great fish. And he'll invade your life to get your attention because he loves you. He loves me. And he will do this. We don't like it. We fight against it. But God loves us. And so he's at work. Conviction brings about a verdict from God. Even in the life of the believer, a great fish. God brings his verdicts upon all of his children. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 tells us, for whom the Lord loves, he spanks. He chastens. And every son of his, he scourges that he receives. He spanks. God disciplines his kids. Now, parents, listen. You got any young parents? You're a young parent. Listen carefully. Our culture has been vandalized and victimized by a humanistic belief system regarding discipline. If you want to learn about discipline for your children, read the Bible. It's perfect. But the Bible says if you do not discipline your child, that child will grow up and be a reproach to his mama. If you don't discipline your kid, now watch this. Just by me mentioning the word discipline, you begin to wonder, oh, can he say that word publicly? You want to know why you think that? It's because the carnal, godless system has invaded our culture so much that discipline, the definition of it is mean and brutality and abuse. Isn't that sick? It's lunatics that abuse their children. People who don't know God, who are crazy, abuse the very child. Can children drive you up the wall? Absolutely. I remember the little, and you won't stop crying. I mean, after a while, I mean, come on, it wears on your nerves. And I remember being a young dad, I mean, like this, and you know, we lived upstairs, and I remember thinking and then laughing how I'm living upstairs. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, Lord, help, Lord, help. And you're, you know, you got to yell to get your prayer up to God because they're crying so loud. And it, you kind of think, hush, little baby, while you fly. But then you got to laugh. You start laughing because then the Lord will say, hey, Jack, you're just like that with me when you're not listening. And you got to laugh. Man, you're just like, Lord, it's tremendous. But listen, we want to bless the kids because God's put that love in our hearts. And if we love them, we will discipline them biblically, correctly, which is a wonderful thing. And sociology now is learning, maybe Dr. Spock was wrong. In fact, Dr. Spock said he was wrong. Loving discipline from a loving parent is the best medicine for a stubborn will. There's a way to do it. And God knows the way. He spanks all of his children. And he does it in a way, remember, you've been taught here that when God spanks, his hand comes down, and then in the follow through, it's coming upward like the hands on a clock, catches you right in the seat of the pants. And when God spanks, he always picks you up. God never comes down on you and crushes you. He always spanks upward. And the result is that it lifts you up, is the way God works. So God delivers this conviction. Jonah, in hardening his heart, the ante has been up, and so now the verdict has been delivered, and the spank is in the form of a fish, a big one. And so God is delivering this message. Listen, Psalm 103, verse 8 is a great verse to keep in mind. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. Don't we need to know that? You know, some people say, well, the God of the Old Testament is different than the God of the New. Well, I sure hope not. Because the God of the Old Testament says in Psalm 103, verse 8, that he's merciful, that he's gracious, that he's slow to anger, and he's abounding in mercy. That's the God we need. He's working in our lives. But Jack, everything's falling apart in my world. He's working. Can he do it easier? I don't know that. He's God, but he's doing it exactly right. He's at work.
It is often said that we can understand the sovereign Lord of the universe if we accept the fact that there are certain things that we cannot understand about the sovereign Lord of the universe. As pointed out by pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. It's a study called A Change in Course. We'll look at Jonah chapter 2, which is for the most part Jonah's prayer in the belly of the fish. We'll hear more of this series within a series on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. So far, quite a number of our listeners have called or written in, letting us know how much they are really benefiting from this series in Jonah. And that's one reason why we're making this entire 11 CD set available for your own personal study and review. Our offer is this: for your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll be glad to send you the series right away. Remember, all that you contribute goes toward the various costs associated with bringing you Real Radio Monday through Friday here on the radio. And it's all tax deductible. So, whether you call, click, or write, just be sure and mention the title, simply Jonah. In fact, you can pay us a visit at realradioactive.org and read all about it under the banner Special Offer. That's www.realradioactive.org. Now, if you'd like to give us a call, we now have a new toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. Again, 877-RR-RADIO. You may also write to us and send your donation to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Just be sure and mention the title of the CD series, Jonah. And of course, any of this contact information that you may have missed can easily be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.